Today, I titled the sermon, Talents, Abilities, Plans, and the Holy Spirit. Talent, Abilities, Plans, and the Holy Spirit. Brother, the power of God's Holy Spirit has always been used to the benefit of mankind. In some cases, it has filled individuals. In other cases, it has influenced them. The intent of all cases is that the Holy Spirit lead us to fulfill the work and the desire of God on this road towards the kingdom of God. That's the purpose of God giving us His Holy Spirit, to give us the power, to give us the vision, to give us the courage that we need on this road that we're on towards God's kingdom. This is the case throughout the history of mankind. This is the case throughout Scripture. Looking at how God uses His Holy Spirit, His influence through the power and the influence of His Holy Spirit in the lives of mankind, and Scripture provides us with tremendous insight into what is actually possible in our life. The purpose of God that He's working out in the lives of mankind and bringing us to completeness, is shown through the experiences of many, many people in Scripture. We are for now in this image of God. We are now in this likeness of God. Again, God is working with us, building His character within us, so that we can become like God, not just in His likeness. Spirit beings, how desirous we look forward to that. As we heard in the sermonette, you know, not just wine and wineskins, but just new from top to bottom. We look forward to that. God has designed that process of transformation from likeness of God's Spirit into spirit beings. He has designed that process begin in this physical life. We begin in this physical life. And it's made possible through the power of God's Holy Spirit that He's forming and shaping that character in us. And that character will be completed and made full on the other side of death at the return of Jesus Christ. So today, God provides us His Holy Spirit to help us enhance our talents. He provides us His Holy Spirit to enhance our abilities. And He provides His Holy Spirit to help us with the plans that we have in this life, to help fashion and to help shape our character into the character of God. He actually uses our talents, uses our ability, combined with His Holy Spirit, to bring that about. So today I want to look at a few examples in Scripture of what is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit working through the talents and the abilities that God has given us as we work to achieve the plans and the desires that we have in this life. You see, we have talents, we have abilities, we have skills, and then we have the things that we would like to accomplish. We have the plans, what God's Holy Spirit has given to us to help us to accomplish that. Don't ever underestimate what God can accomplish in your life through the power of His Holy Spirit. Don't ever underestimate that. Today, this will be a combination Bible study, sermon. We have a lot of scriptures, a few scriptures that we'll go through as we make our way through the message today. And this message, I think, is primarily for our young people, our young adults in particular. Certainly it is applicable to every one of us, because we all have plans, we all have talents. But I think particularly to our young adults and our young people, our teenagers, etc., who are thinking about what they want to do in life, who are thinking about their careers, who are thinking about their talents, you need to think about it in terms of the power that God makes available to you through His Holy Spirit. Point number one that I have is our talents and our abilities can be enhanced by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Our talents and our abilities can be enhanced by the power of God's Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is capable of taking, you know, our talents, taking our abilities that we have, and perfecting them to a level that would otherwise not be reached on our own. We can have all the talents, we can have all the skills that we have, we can put as much work and effort into improving those talents and those abilities that we have. But there are things that the Holy Spirit can do that no matter how much we work at improving our talents and our abilities, we would never be able to reach the level that we can reach with God's Holy Spirit helping us. God can then use that powerful Holy Spirit in us to then accomplish great works in His service, great works in His church, or great works that we can do in the lives of other people. And we're going to look at an example of God using the Holy Spirit in just that way. And as we review this example, try to think about the work that you have, try to think about the talents that you have, and realize that God is capable, through that same Spirit within you, to accomplish marvelous works. You know, what is it that you would like to do? What is it that you have talents for? As we read through these examples, think about those things in your life. You see, we're going to go with me over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. Exodus 28, beginning in verse 1. See, when God wanted to have garments made for Aaron and his sons, there is a specific characteristic that God needed them to have. A specific characteristic that was needed, and it was the Holy Spirit working with and in gifted artisans, and we're going to come back to that phrase, gifted artisans. It was God's Holy Spirit working with and in gifted artisans who were given this enhanced characteristic that enabled them to create garments that were acceptable to God. Think about it. Clothing. And then we'll talk about what these garments were, but to actually create things, create something with their hands, with their abilities, with their gifts, create something that was acceptable to God. Look at the instructions here given by God to Moses. We're in Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, it says, God says to Moses, "Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priests. Aaron and his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty." Holy garments made for glory and for beauty. Now, just a point of clarification here. Something is holy because God's presence is in it through His Holy Spirit. There's a better clarification of this statement, holy garments. In the Revised Standards, verse 2, it reads this way, "And you shall make sacred vestments, for the glorious adornment of your brother Aaron." It's important to always understand that distinction, because we cannot make something holy. Don't think that by going to work and working on a program, you know, you're sitting there, that I'm going to actually design a holy program or a holy car. That's not what it is. Things become holy because of God's presence. But what it does say here is that they were to make something for glory and for beauty. That is something that we can do. We can make something, we can create something for glory and for beauty, but it requires God's presence in order for it to be holy. Something is holy because God's presence is in it through His Holy Spirit. The garments were made for glory, it says. Make them for glory, and that means make them to give honor to God, and that they should also be beautiful. So when God told Moses this, there was a particular characteristic that needed to be added to them in order to use their talents and their abilities to make something that was glorious, that would give honor to God, and something that was also beautiful. The Holy Spirit of God in us, working through us, is capable of accomplishing those exact same things in our life through the things that we need or we choose to do, through the work that we do. The objective given to Moses by God was to make the garments in which God would add His Holy Spirit, and those garments were to be glorious and beautiful. So consider the work that you do, or the work that you would like to do from a career perspective. You know, is it teaching? Is it crocheting? Computer programming, carpentry, landscaping, community planning, homemaking, project management, social work, a musician, actually painting or, you know, creating art? How much more fulfilling would it be, and would your work be, knowing that you were able to produce something for glory and something for beauty? Well, that's possible. It's possible that even in the work that you do, in the service that you provide, that God can consider the work that you do in your career something that gives honor to Him, that's what glorious means, and something that is also beautiful, that people might recognize, and people can recognize. The Holy Spirit is capable of accomplishing that in us. For Moses to accomplish this objective, a specific spiritual gift was needed, and would be provided through God's Holy Spirit. How is that going to be accomplished? Verse 3. It says, so you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans. Again, we're going to come back to that. Whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. That word consecrate means to separate him of him. That he may minister to me as priest. That characteristic that was given to them through God's Holy Spirit was a spirit of wisdom. That was a characteristic of God through the Holy Spirit, which was necessary for them to produce something that was glorious and something that was beautiful. That's something that we should be praying about. That in the work that we do, the careers that we have, that we ask God to give us, to grant us the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom. And how we go about that work and in the things that we do. What we make those garments holy again was God's presence. But no matter how glorious or how beautiful, again, it is, we can't make it holy, but we can make things beautiful. We can make things that give honor to God. God, through His Holy Spirit, filled them with wisdom. Verse 4, it says this, and these garments, these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy or sacred garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that they may minister to me as priests. The spirit of wisdom, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, that spirit of God working in the minds of gifted artisans to fulfill God's will. Now here's the lesson for us. Here's the lesson for us. Notice that God said to Moses, speak to all those who are gifted artisans. Who are gifted artisans. Men and women who had tremendous gifts already, who had obviously perfected their talents, so that among men, they were considered gifted artisans. That's very important. See, God took the talents the individuals already had, which they, as individuals, had worked with to become gifted artisans. To become gifted artisans. And then filled them with the spirit of wisdom to make those sacred, glorious, beautiful garments for Aaron and his sons. Garments that God considered worthy enough to adorn his priest. The question is, do you have talents? Do you have skills? Particularly, again, our young adults and young people, teenagers and even younger. Do you have talents? Do you have skills? Of course you do. Of course you do. So prior to actually asking God for that spiritual wisdom to use the talents and the skills that you have, there's something that you have to do. You have to take the skills, you have to take the abilities that you have, and you have to put work into those skills, work into those abilities, so that you can be considered a gifted artisan. God grants us with many skills, many talents. We're born with them. They may come genetically. They just may be something that we stumble upon. But we can't just say, okay, well, I have this talent. I have this ability. And that's it. You see, when God looked out there, He told Moses to go find folks that were gifted artisans. That had put forth the work and put in the effort to take their skills, to take their abilities to the next level. To the next level. So what is the talent? What is the ability? What is the skill? What are the things that you would like to do? And God says, take those skills, take those abilities, and take them to the next level. Bring them to a gifted state. And then after we have done that, after we've brought those skills, brought those talents to a gifted state, then we can ask God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, to add the spirit of wisdom to us so that we can see how then to use the talents, how to use those abilities to incline our character ultimately to move towards His purpose that He has for you and your life. But it requires us to put forth the skill, put in the time, put in the effort, put in the work. And then God can ultimately use those skills, those talents that we have, to fulfill the purpose that He has for you, for His people, and for mankind. You know, it may be doing what might be in doing what you love that, you know, you find that gifted talent can earn you a great income. That's nice. You may also find that having that gifted talent, you're able to understand this very complex healthcare system. That would be great if you think about the number of people that you could assist with. Having that talent turned into a gifted talent may help you to become an incredible, maybe a community planner, so that you can take those skills and know exactly or have a better idea what needs to take place in the millennium, different from what folks do today. You may have a talent and skill for counseling people, or talking with people, or helping people with problems. Again, take those talents, those abilities, work with them, study about them, educate yourself about them, to turn them into the place where you're considered a gifted artisan. A gifted artisan. And those are talents and skills then that God can use to accomplish great things, not only in your life, but in the lives of other people. You know, these individuals, their talents that they had were used to just fashion garments for priests. Think about all the things that we would like to accomplish in this life. Think about, you know, what your vision is, things that you would like to do. Or for us, we're working things that we could do better if we apply the effort and the energy to improve the talents and the skills that we have. What an honor it was for those individuals who were gifted artisans and to be selected by Moses to make holy garments for the priests. What an honor. What an honor. I doubt if any of them knew the degree to which their talents were going to be used. Had no clue. But because they honed their talents and became gifted artisans, God was able, through His Holy Spirit, to add wisdom to their talents, to their gifts, and then to use them to weave and to fashion garments that were worn by the priest, that set the priest apart for a very special spiritual service. And then God said, those garments that you will make, I will make holy, because I will put my presence in them. Incredible. Incredible. So who knows how God might use your talents, your skills, to further His work on earth, or His work in the millennium, or in the kingdom of God? Who knows, in the work that we have as adults, how many people are watching how we do our work? Not just that we do our work, but how we do our work. Because how we do our work, how we go about accomplishing the things that we do, should be reflective of God's Holy Spirit within us in everything that we do. Who knows how God might use those talents? It is clear throughout Scripture that our talents and our abilities can be enhanced by God's Holy Spirit for God's use. We must put it to work. We must pray for the wisdom to be used by God to fulfill the purpose for which God has given us those talents and those abilities. And not let our talents and abilities fall short of what God would have them be developed into. Let's see what else God can do through the Holy Spirit. Now, as we move to the next section, go over to Exodus chapter 35, and verse 30. Exodus 35, verse 30. We're going to see now what God can do through the Holy Spirit when it fills a person. When it fills a person. See, God uses the same process, but to an even more powerful way, to design and fashion items that were used in the temple. Exodus 35, beginning in verse 30. Point number two is this. Point number two. When the Holy Spirit fills us, we can produce, or what can be produced in us and by us is without limit. When the Holy Spirit fills us, actually fills us, what can be produced in us and by us is without limit. Without limit. Do we know that? Do we believe that? Here in Exodus 35, verse 30, again, here are some very salient things for particularly, you know, our young, you know, preteens, our teens, our young adults who are moving into that career world. Some very salient things to keep in mind here. Wonderful lessons here. It says here in Exodus 35, verse 30, and Moses said to the children of Israel, seeing the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God. Filled him with the Spirit of God. You see, the gifted artisans that we looked at over in Exodus 28 were filled with wisdom through the Holy Spirit. It was more like the Holy Spirit was working with them. And there was a particular characteristic in them that God leveraged. In this case, with Bezalel, God has filled him with this Holy Spirit. And we're going to see through this some tremendous things that are possible when God's Holy Spirit is in a person. When God's Holy Spirit is in a person. The gifted artisans, again, in Exodus 28, were different. And what's interesting here, it says he has filled him with the Holy Spirit. And this is long before the day of Pentecost. Long, long before the day of Pentecost. With the Holy Spirit of God and Bezalel, there were particular added abilities given to him. It says here, verse 31, and he was filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom. We talked about wisdom over in Exodus 28. And it says here, and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. These are characteristics of God which we should be asking God to increase in us through the power and the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. Wisdom and understanding. Not just wisdom to know what to do. See, that's what wisdom gives us. Wisdom gives us the ability to know what to do, to make wise decisions with the things that are before us. We might not understand all the time why things worked as well as they did, but we're very glad that we have the wisdom to make the right decisions. See, wisdom to make the right decisions is being obedient to your parents. You know, my parents told me, you know, don't drink and become drunk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was the youngest of five. I had an opportunity to watch the bad habits of my older brothers and sisters for many years. One of my oldest brothers came home just blasted, totally drunk. And he was my idol. My older brother, my absolute idol. If I wanted to be like someone, I wanted to be like him. But he got just plastered drunk. And I, our bunk beds were four in a room, two bunks on each side of the room. I wanted to be just like him. So his bunk was on the bottom, my bunk was on the bottom. And I watched him for hours just throw up and throw up and throw up. My idol. My idol. All night long, just throwing up so nothing else could come up. So wisdom says, I don't have to do that. I can listen to what my parents told me, and I can look at the example of my brother and realize I don't have to walk down that road. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Understanding is the degree of being able to say exactly what is happening. I didn't have to know what was happening. I didn't have to know what kind of liquor he drank, how much he drank, what his limit was, all of those things, and all that understanding wasn't necessary. But I had wisdom. Here with Bezalel, God gives him wisdom and understanding. Not just wisdom to know what to do, but understanding of why and how things are done. Why and how things are done. In the case of Bezalel, the understanding likely meant a knowledge of the very elements of the earth and how they could be forged and fashioned. Because Bezalel, God was calling to actually fashion the implements and the utensils and the tools that were going to be used within the temple. He said, I'm not just going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you understanding. Understanding. So this understanding was deeper knowledge on the very elements of the earth, how they could be forged and fashioned. So if you're in, say, for instance, you know, health or mortuary sciences or chemistry or mathematics or material engineering or understanding the elements, you know, these elements can broaden your ability to become creative and innovative in the things that you are going to do. Not just wisdom. Now that you have understanding, you can take some additional knowledge and become very innovative. You can begin to create your own types of things. And that's what God put into Bezalel to be able to do. You see, if we're talking about chemistry, for example, it's the understanding of, you know, the periodic table. You know, that there are solids and there's liquids and there's gases. There are also unknowns. There's orbital tools and isotopes. There's compounds and metals and non-metals. There's lanthanoids and alkalines and halogens and alpha decay and proton emissions and neutron emissions and subcutaneous fusion and electronic fusion. You know, being able to understand those things in your particular field of science gives you understanding. And with that understanding, combined with wisdom, gives you the ability to create things and to make things. And that is something that God added to Bezalel. Incredible. God granted him both wisdom and understanding. So what about your work? What about your career? What about the things you would like to do? Could you use more wisdom? How to apply what you know? And could you use more understanding about how things fit together? And it could be something that you touch with your hands. It could be, if you're counseling, it's just understanding the mind. Why people do what they do. If you're a manager, it is, you know, be able to understand why people make the decisions that they make is incredibly, incredible gift. An incredible gift. So God added wisdom and understanding. Continue here in verse 31. He then adds something else. He adds, and knowledge. Knowledge. Not only the mastery of the elements, but also the knowledge of joining the elements and the materials together. How does this element work with this element? You know, what happens if I, you know, approach my boss? I had a boss, you can only approach them, you know, you have to check with the secretary. I learned very quickly. I had to check with the secretary when you go in to visit this particular boss I had. Because he had good days and he had bad days. If you wanted to ask him for something on a bad day, you weren't going to get it. Matter of fact, you're going to get kicked, you know, thrown out on your ear with a couple expletives. So unfortunately, you had to learn. You learn these things in business. So it's just not a matter of putting together physical things, but in our dealings and our workings with people, understanding those different personalities that we have to deal with. And how to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. So not just wisdom and understanding, but knowledge. In Bezalel's case, knowledge of the stresses and strains that elements could endure in combination with one another. Right? So he's making these utensils for the temple. Well, can I put gold on it? If I take gold and silver, and I take iron, and I want it to adhere to wood, how do I do that? Do they adhere together? How long will it last? It looks beautiful right now. Come back tomorrow morning and it's all falling apart. And the elements have separated. Or I've taken something, I've nailed it up on the wall, and the next thing you know, the plaster behind it has dried and it falls off. It breaks. Knowledge. So those, again, things that we can ask God for through His Holy Spirit. So added understanding of the elements. Have knowledge on how they work. Have wisdom on how to apply it. continue here, God even added additional things through His Holy Spirit. He says, in all manner of workmanship. All manner of workmanship. You see, then God granted the workmanship, granted the ability to actually apply all of these things in order to produce a product. You see, you can have wisdom, you can have knowledge, you can have understanding, right? And still not produce anything. Still not be able to make a thing. Understand all the elements of the periodic table. Understand how they combine and don't combine. But God granted Beelzebul the ability in all manner of workmanship, how to actually create a work product, to create something. And these things are applicable in whatever you do. You know, if you're a landscaper, and someone hires you to make, you know, some type of beautiful, you know, display outside of their office building. Well, how much water is available? What type of plants should I put here? Are they going to clash with the red mulch that they like? If I have all red mulch and I put all red flowers down, you're not going to see anything. So, you know, what are the combination of things that I need to use? How much Miracle-Gro do I put on this? Do I put any Miracle-Gro on it? I have rabbits. What do I need to do to keep the rabbits away? Well, a guy told me just, I went to pick up some flowers. He told me to use hair cuttings. Go to the barbershop, get hair cuttings, and spread them around the flowers. So he has some knowledge about something that I didn't have. You know, so all of these things are applicable to create a work product. To create a work product. Through the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can ask God, we can request from God. These types of things, that is what God does for His children. You see it occur over and over and over again in Scripture. We're looking at this particular case here in Exodus 35. God granted Beelzebul workmanship, the ability to actually apply that wisdom to create a work product. Is there something applicable, again, in your career, in your work, that aligns with that? If God's Holy Spirit is real, it says here that God filled Beelzebul with that Holy Spirit. It's real. And it can produce some tremendous things. Let's continue. Verse 32, you see, in addition to wisdom, in addition to understanding, in addition to knowledge, in addition to workmanship, there's another skill set that was added. Verse 32. To design artistic works. To design artistic works. Not just to make them, right? So somebody can give you a plan and says, here's the plan on how to put up a deck. As a matter of fact, here's the whole package. All you have to do is follow the plan. But to be able to design is something totally different. Someone says, look, I have this thought in my head about a deck that I'd like to put up. And I'm hiring you to do that for me. And you, because you have the gift of designing, you're able to actually design that out. And you have an engineering background, so you don't pick up the deck off, and you have a 40-foot span with nothing under it. First time they walk out there on it, it collapses, right? And then they're suing you. He was given the gift, another gift here, to design artistic work in this case. The Spirit of God was added to help Beelzebul to design artistic works, to come up with or to innovate in creating the designs and artistic patterns himself. Himself. Incredible. Just want you to note down in your notes, Genesis 6, verse 14 to 16. I'll just read it to you. You see, there are some design elements that God dictates in Scripture. That God says, look, you need to do it this way, this long, this high, this way, etc. Over in Genesis 6, verse 14, this is what he says when he's talking about to Noah about making the ark. He says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, so it's the exact type of wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and outside with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window in the ark, and you shall finish it with the cubit from above, and set the door of the ark on the inside, on its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks, etc., etc. Tell me all the plans. So sometimes God tells us exactly what we need to do to design something that he intends to use. In Bezalel's case, however, God would not provide the exact size, the exact weights, the exact angles, the exact composites of every detail. He would tell them, rely on the Holy Spirit that I've given you to do that. Rely on the Holy Spirit that I have you to do that. And because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to use that Holy Spirit in the work that you're going to do, I know that you're going to produce something that I'm going to be pleased with. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that you know that the things that you know, in your business, you own your own business, or you're working for someone else, or you hire to design something, that the customer or your employer knows, I can trust this person's output, their design, their concepts, what they're, you know, what they're doing. They put in the work. They've taken their talents and their abilities and they're gifted. They have wisdom, they have understanding, they have knowledge and design skills. It's incredible what God makes available to us through his Holy Spirit. You see, Beelzebub would create those design elements, and those design elements would be pleasing to God. Would be pleasing to God. Continue here. It says in Exodus 35, verse 32, these elements, the design elements to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting of jewels for setting, carving wood, to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. All sorts of things. All sorts of things he could do. To actually, you know, carve, or as it says, cut jewels. Incredible. And what type of tools did they have back then to cut jewels? Whatever type of tools they had to cut jewels back then, through God's Holy Spirit given to him, he was able to cut jewels that were pleasing to God. Incredible. And his own design. His own design. His own concepts. Through the Holy Spirit that was within him. Don't ever limit what God is capable of doing through his Holy Spirit in us. The ability to work in beautiful detail that was pleasing to God. God granted through his Holy Spirit wisdom, understanding, knowledge, workmanship, and design. Would any of those be helpful for you in your career? In your work on a daily basis? And you're interacting with customers? You're producing something beautiful? It's incredible, again, what God can do. But there is, again, an additional element here that is brought out. Also take note of this special gift, verse 34. From God, through his Holy Spirit, that God also placed within him. Verse 34 says, and he put in his heart the ability to teach. The ability to teach. In him, Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, put in him also the ability to teach. Absolutely, this is incredible. This is incredible. Again, this individual filled with God's Holy Spirit. And we're coming up on the day of Pentecost tomorrow. Again, it's just not some day that we're going because God says, well, we're going there because God says you better go, right? Keep it holy. But it's so much more than that. God has given us, made available his Holy Spirit to us so that we can actually build the character that God wants us to have in this life. It's for real. It's for real. He added to Bezalel this ability to teach. What a wonderful gift. To have in one's heart the ability to teach, the ability to show others how to improve and apply their skills and their talents to give glory and beauty. Ability to teach. Ability to instruct. If you're counseling, the ability to counsel. If mismanaging the ability to sit down and help people to see how things should flow, how things should go, how a project should be run. All of those types of things, the ability to teach. You know, many of us can remember in school, in college, or college, you know, a teacher who simply had that special gift to teach. So often we remember the ones who really didn't have to teach. But sometimes we remember that particular individual who had that, you know, that ability to teach. I remember one of my math teachers when I was in high school, David Levine. He loved to teach. He could take very complex subjects like calculus, analytic geometry, physics. I mean, he just had it all. But he was able to break those things down in such a way that you really understood what he was doing and why. An incredible ability to teach. Whereas other instructors said, you know, here's a math book, read pages, you know, 35 to 47, there's going to be a test on Tuesday. Ah! And Mr. Levine, what he would also do is that he would make real time available after school. He wouldn't just say, you know, if you have a problem, come to my class. He said, no, tomorrow after school, we're going to be digging into this particular calculus problem, and we're going to tear it apart from beginning to end. And I'm going to, you know, you oftentimes would go up to pizza with his own money, teacher salary, and buy pizza for those who showed up. You're talking about people who went in and loved his class and loved to learn and scored extremely well on the SAT through him, through his ability to teach. God placed within Beelzebub this in his heart, in him and Aholiab, this ability to teach. What a particular gift. What a particular gift. What a wonderful gift. You know, our work or in our careers, isn't that a good thing to be able to teach others what you know? And to be able to instruct them in a way that they actually get it? What a skill. What an ability. Verse 35, it says, he filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, scarlet thread and fine linen and the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic work. In chapter 36, verse 1. And Beelzebub and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. God granted, through his Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, workmanship, design, and the ability to teach. We must ask God for his help through his Holy Spirit to leverage all the talents, all of the gifts, all the abilities we have to produce what he desires in us for his ultimate glory, for his ultimate honor. And to ask God, if he can, produce that through us without limit. Meaning, don't let me be the limit, Father, to what you are trying to produce. Don't let me limit what you're trying to produce. There is one other aspect that I want to cover today. We talked about talents. We talked about the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit. Point number three. The Holy Spirit is given to help us with our plans. You know, trying to figure out, you know, you have skill, you have ability, you know what you'd like to do from a career perspective, or you're in a career and you'd like to be able to improve in that career. It may not just be to, you know, get a promotion, it just might be to be better efficient, to be able to do it more efficiently. It may be to help those who are coming behind you to be able to work more efficiently so that they don't have the problems, run into the same problems that you did in your career. And at times, trying to figure out what to do at times can be a very daunting task. You know, what should I do? The Holy Spirit, point number three, is given to help us with our, given to help us with our plans. The reality is, without those challenging, difficult things that we have to figure out, you know, what career should I go after? You know, what job should I take? Should I move from this company to that company? Without those challenges, you know, we are not given the opportunity to build the character that God wants for us to extend, or the character that will extend into eternal life. It's through those difficult decisions, it's through those difficult challenges, it's through making plans that God begins to work with us and build with us and use those opportunities to build within us additional character. One of the most important disciplines in having the Holy Spirit is learning to engage God in your plans. Not just having plans. Having plans is very good. But learning to engage God in your plans is what God expects us to do. You see, there are things that we might want to accomplish or feel inspired to accomplish. And God provides His Holy Spirit to help us in making those plans. Go with me over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. Making plans can be a daunting task, a little scary task. You know, as singles, and particularly as husbands and wives, whether you're with or without children, you know, as you go from single to married, to children, etc., the necessity to involve God in your plans increases. It increases. Because suddenly you begin to realize that the plans that I make, the decisions that I make, the things that I would like to do, are not just going to affect me. It's going to affect my children. It's going to affect my wife. It may affect our income. It may affect college that I want to, you know, set aside. It may affect all sorts of things. So as we move along this track and we gain more responsibilities over other people's lives, the necessity of involving God in our plans goes up precipitously, because we can begin to make plans that affect other people's lives. I want to look at this chastisement here from God to the children of Israel. It says here in Isaiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit." You have God's Holy Spirit. You're sitting down and making plans and making decisions and laying out things without asking me, without seeking my counsel, without leveraging my spirit within you. Goes on to say that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen them in the strength of Pharaoh, to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. Strong chastisement here about devising plans without counsel, without leveraging God's Holy Spirit, and not taking God's advice. Where do you get God's advice from? From Scripture, from sermons, from counsel with others. You see, it's one thing to pray and ask God to help you when you're in the midst of a situation. Absolutely, you're in the midst of a situation, ask God to help. It's one thing to pray and ask God for help regarding the outcome of a situation that you seemingly have little control over. Absolutely ask God for help. You find yourself, you know, at the end of the road having to make some decision, ask God for help. Absolutely. But it's another thing to sit down and to seek counsel from God, to make plans with God by the power of God's Holy Spirit in you or working with you, to invite Him into your planning process, to seek His word, to seek His counsel in advance. In advance about your plans, about what you like to do, about your strategies, about your career choice, all sorts of things. That's what God says about plans. You devised plans, He said here to the children of Israel, but you didn't consult me. You devised plans, they weren't by leveraging my spirit. You devised plans, and you didn't ask my advice. So guess what? You're going to just be victims of whether they work or they don't work. If Pharaoh has more strength than you, guess what? You just have to figure it out on your own. So how would you like to use the talents and abilities God has given you? You know, those are things to plan about. You know, how would you like to use those? Those are things to make plans in advance about. What are your plans for your education in order to grow your talents, your abilities, and your gifts? Do things that you would like to do require you to get an associate's degree, or a master's degree, or a doctorate degree, or some extra certification? You want to be a project manager, you want to have to get your PMP, you want to be an engineer, you need additional learning, and what type of engineer? You know, what are the plans for your education and growing the talents and abilities and gifts that you have? You see, talents and abilities are things you have. Gifts are made to be given. So that's what an interesting thing to think about. You know, when God went to those gifted artisans, those were gifts to be given. So with God's Holy Spirit, it shouldn't just be a matter of going out and getting as much knowledge, understanding, skill sets, etc., so you can build, you know, your silos larger and fill them with more wheat, more oil, you know, put more money in the bank, etc., etc., etc. They're gifts to be given. Gifts to be given. So what are your plans to give to others? What about your plans for your careers? What about your plans for marriage, for children? What about planning for retirement? What about planning for the inevitable, and it's difficult to, you know, sometimes think about the inevitable. God says it's appointed to every man wants to die. Whether your death, or the death of a spouse, or the death of a parent, you know, that's something that we know is going to happen at some point in time. Making any type of plans around it, any type of strategy, any type of thought, any type of consideration? You know, all of these are plans in life that call on our talents and our abilities and our gifts. How do you leverage the Holy Spirit in joining God into your plans? See, I have God's Holy Spirit. I know God's Holy Spirit is working with me. I know God's Holy Spirit is in me. Both are extremely valid. Extremely powerful. But how do you leverage that Holy Spirit in joining God into your plans? I have a few points here on how to bring God into your plans. Point number one. Pray about your plans, asking God to help you to see His will. Pray about your plans. Make the plans. Then pray about those plans, asking God's help for you to see His will. You know, God, I would like to do this, and I would like to do that, and I would like to do the other, and I would like to have this, and I would like more of that. Well, what about what God would like you to have? What is His will? What does He want you to have? What does He want you to do? How does He want you to serve? Go over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 11. It says here, then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, the houses, his treasuries, his upper chambers, his inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. You know, these plans made in advance, David has given now to Solomon. Someone, you know, God's instruction through David, sat down and made these plans, wrote them out. Verse 12, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries for the dedicated things, also for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. Lots of plans. Lots of plans. Have to sit down and make those plans. Have to sit down and take the time to figure that out, to walk those through logically. Drop down to verse 19. And this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing. Important point we're going to get back to in a little bit. In writing by his hand upon me, all the works of these plans. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord my God will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. See, it was God's will, God's plans, that David and Solomon were to execute. They had asked God, what is your will? Ultimately, we want to make certain that it is God's plans in our life that we are executing. That's the idea. I make my plans. I have my desires. But ultimately, Father, what I really would desire is that my plans becomes your plans and your plans become my plans. And God's not going to say down from some voice on high,
paragraph 3 is exactly what I want.
It doesn't happen that way. We have to work it through. We have to look, you know, through God's word and through his spirit and ask, you know, that it's not me that's in it, it's God is in it, and ask for advice and counsel. All these other things we have to do. You see, God is interested in building character in us, not only through trial and tribulation, but also in the work that we have in making plans in this life. We often talk about, you know, trials and tribulations, what they teach us. But making plans properly with God also can teach us a tremendous amount and build our confidence and build our faith in God. Accomplishing our plans in life is challenging because this is Satan's world and God has called us out of this world. So in the process of using our talents and our abilities and gifts to accomplish our plans, we are going to be faced with difficulty along the line. And the deal is God wants to see how are you going to work with those difficulties. Yes, you made your plans. You've prayed about them. We've made them jointly. But you have to execute those plans in Satan's world. And that's where the character builds. That's where the character comes in. You can just jot down in your notes. I might have time to go there. Go with me over to Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 1. Psalm 37, verse 1. I just want to read just verse 1 through 8. This is just a good summary of the challenges that we have in this life, even when we have our plans, and even when we have made our plans. This is Satan's world. But God says when you make your plans and you have struggles with your plans, keep some of these things in mind. Psalms 37, verse 1, it says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut off like the grass and wither as the green herb. Stick to your plan. Look at your plan. Don't be looking around because, you know, Joe just got a brand new Cadillac. Lexus, excuse me. Joe just got a brand new Lexus. Oh, well, Joe must be doing everything right. God's really blessing Joe. You have no idea what Joe is doing. You have no idea how he got the money. You have no idea whether he got it truthfully righteously, unrighteously. God said, make your plans with me. Work them through with me. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on the faith on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. That's hard sometimes. That's hard sometimes, waiting for the plans to materialize, to see whether or not, you know, I need to make some adjustments along the way. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Don't fret. Don't worry about that. Because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger, and forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. Don't, you know, go poking out your lip and getting all upset because of what Joe has. Focus on what God has given you, what God is working through you, the blessings God has given you. Maximize those. Work with those. Work with those plans. Point number two in this subcategory. Point number one was pray about your plans, asking God to help you to see his will. Point number two, look into God's word, his Bible, for examples and advice. Look into God's word, the Bible, for examples and advice. This is how you pull God into your plans. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9. You can just jot this down. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Beautiful. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart makes his way, but the Lord, or makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. So make your plans. How does the Lord direct your steps? The Lord directs your steps by looking into his word, his Bible, for examples of what God has proven out happens time and time again, and how adjustments were made, and how decisions were made, how faith was made and kept, how you do the right thing even when there's temptation to do the wrong thing, and you rely on God for his blessings and his support. See, we can make plans with or without God, but it is God who directs our steps. Those steps are directed by going through God's word. And the understanding of his word comes through God's Holy Spirit. We have to look into his word for examples and advice. Point number three on bringing God into your plans. Be diligent in following your plan. Point number three, be diligent. An important word in this is diligent. Be diligent in following your plan. Proverbs 21, verse 5. Again, you can jot it down. Proverbs 21, verse 5. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Now, we don't want to just keep this in the context of finances. It's real easy for us to do that because it said poor and plenty. But put that in the context of understanding. Put that in the context of wisdom. Put that in the context of doing the right things. Following your plans diligently leads to God having you in a place where he can bless you in whatever way he chooses to bless you. Being hasty puts you in a place where God may not be able to bless you. You just ran by the blessing or stopped short of the blessing because you were hasty. You see, execution of plans takes work and it takes time. It is reviewing our plans through the use of God's Holy Spirit in prayer and diligence that brings about results and understanding. As God reveals, you know, wisdom and knowledge and understanding to us, often plans have to get adjusted. That's what the wisdom and knowledge and understanding does. It makes us ability to see our plans and make adjustments here and make adjustments there based on life circumstances or other things. Being hasty to get started or to get things all over, oftentimes the reasons why some plans are less successful than they otherwise could be. Just less successful, not necessarily that they may fail, they may just be less successful than they otherwise could be. So be diligent in following your plans. Point number four, in bringing God into your plans. Again, using your talents, using your abilities, all these things, they have plans now. Point number four, plan early and write things down. Plan early and write things down. We just covered this. I'll just quote it for you over in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 19. 1 Chronicles 28:19. I referenced this. It says, "And this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans." Now, I just have to say this. If God found it important to write things down, probably I should too. Probably I should too. If God said, you know, the Lord made me understand in writing, that's what David said, the Lord made me understand in writing, it's probably a good idea to write your plans down. You see, the thing is that we think, you know, some of us, I'll take it back, some of us have, you know, these really smart and intelligent minds that you can have all those plans in your head and execute them and things happen to you. Stay right there. I'm not so much that way. I have to write things down. David obviously had to write things down. God encouraged him to write things down. Write them down. Write down your plans. The other important thing with writing them down is you get to in a moment that, you know, if you're in a partnership with your wife or your husband, it's hard to understand those plans when I'm looking you in the eye. I just can't read minds. So by at least having it on paper, and sometimes, as we know, we've experienced it, we've been married for a while, that even having it on paper doesn't mean we both are on the same page. But it's closer than, well, this is what I was thinking about. Didn't you understand me? You have to write them down. So plan point number four, plan early. Write things down. If God wrote it down, probably a good idea for us to do the same. And when you write them down, take those plans before God on your knees. You write them down, take them before God on your knees. Review them with Him. Go through them step by step. Father, you know, this is what I'd like to do, and this is how I'd like to approach you. Point number one, point number two, and this is what I'm thinking about doing in 2016 and 2017. I'd like this to happen in 2019, and I don't know what's going to happen over here with this, that, the other, so help me to figure that out. Take them to God on your knees. Pray about them. Ask God to help you with your talent, your skill, the ability, the knowledge, the wisdom, all those things we reviewed previously, to help you to execute those plans successfully. Point number five, I just alluded to that. If you're married, point number five, if you're married, don't plan in isolation. If you're married, don't make, you know, particularly major plans in isolation. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. You can jot it down. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." A married couple is heir together. They should be planning together. They should be writing out those plans and reviewing them together and identifying what is necessary together. That's the way God designed it. You're heirs together. It's just not there to say, oh, we're heirs together, so I'm going to go my way and make my plans, go my way and make my plans, and we're heirs together. No. It requires work. It requires leaning into things. It requires writing things down. Sometimes it means tough conversations. But that's why God created love. Because the love should overcome those tough conversations that may come about when you have different plans and different strategies and different approaches. But at least if you write them down and you review them as husband and wife, at least you can identify what those differences are. And it can address them in some way, shape, or fashion. You know, there are talents that a wife has that a husband doesn't have, and vice versa. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Planning together can often take the egos out of the way so that you can jointly focus on what's necessary to accomplish the plans. Because a lot of egos, I'll say particularly for men, I'm probably sure it's probably for women as well, but I know my mind. You know, a lot of ego can get in the way when you're sitting down trying to make plans. But by sitting down and writing them down, a lot of times the ego can get put to the side. My father, he wouldn't mind me mentioning that because he's mentioned it over the years. My mother was a great financial planner, handling money, absolutely skilled, but his ego would never allow her to handle the money. And we lived the vast majority of our existence in poverty that was unnecessary. And unfortunately, it was after all the kids were out of the house that he came to understand that. I should have let Jan handle the finances. She was excellent with money. When money came into his hand and went out all the way home, I was just gone. So we have to, as husbands and wives, work together and not plan in isolation. Point number six. Seek the advice of others who have God's Holy Spirit. Seek the advice of others who have God's Holy Spirit. I'm not limiting it to those who have God's Holy Spirit. You should seek the advice of many people when you have plans. But also make sure you don't overlook seeking the advice of those who have God's Holy Spirit. Proverbs 15, verse 22 says, without counsel, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Without counsel, plans go awry, plans go south, plans don't work out. And sometimes the reason is because you haven't sought counsel. Not that you haven't been diligent in writing it down, you haven't been diligent in praying about it, you haven't sought counsel. In the multitude of counselors, things are established. Hearing the different opinions, hearing the different ideas. And that's when you then ask for the wisdom of God, so you can filter through those ideas that are coming at you and figure out which ones are really applicable to your situation and which ones are not, which ones might need to be adjusted a little bit, and which ones maybe are exactly what you needed. God's word is incredible, absolutely incredible. And point number seven, last point, is to ask others to pray for your plans. Ask others to pray for you and your plans. Ask others to pray for you and your plans. I just want to read through a couple of scriptures here. You can just jot these down. John 17, verse 9. This is Jesus Christ's words. Jesus Christ said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those who you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus Christ praying for those that the Father had given him. We should be praying for each other and asking each other for support in the plans and the strategies and the things that we're trying to work out when appropriate. Colossians 1, verse 9 says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with knowledge of his wisdom and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Isn't that a wonderful thing to pray about for someone or ask someone to pray for you? I'm trying to figure this out. Please pray and ask God to give me more wisdom and understanding, spiritual understanding, to figure out what I should do, how I should approach it. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Turn to each other and ask for your help. You know, going through this, of having this problem, having this trouble, whatever it might be, it's just not sin that we're going around telling by all of our sins. It's helping people and asking people to help you with the difficulties that you might be going through, health-wise or otherwise. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. praying and asking, you know, look, I'm having this struggle. I got a boss that I'm working with. Really, really difficult. I'm having issues on how to deal with them. I want to live honorably. Help me, you know, you have any advice for me on how to deal with that? And lastly, 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 to 2. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So we need to pray for one another, because again, we're in this world. We can have the right plans, the right strategy, etc., and this world that we're in can come and cause us issues. Again, God is working to build character within us. So, brother, the Bible is full of example after example of men and women whose talents and abilities not only were used to accomplish the plans that they had, but were used in concert to accomplish the will of God. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, incredible accomplishments can be made and can be achieved. Our talents and our abilities can be enhanced by God's Holy Spirit for His use. When the Holy Spirit fills us, what we can produce can be without limit. And the third point was, the Holy Spirit is given to help us in our plans. So, brethren, don't ever estimate what God can accomplish in your life with your talents, with your abilities, through your plans. And God, involve God in your plans, and incredible things God promises can take place.